Welcome to Minnesota Arts on the Road. I'm Glenn Brockett. This time around, we welcome to the program singer-songwriter Wayne Hamilton. Wayne has been performing music of one kind or another since his childhood years and to this day continues to write songs and jingles. He also performs regularly in the active acoustic music circuit in the Twin Cities region of Minnesota. Wayne currently serves as president of the Minnesota Association of Songwriters and serves on the board of directors at the History Theater in St. Paul. He is a member of the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers and the Songwriters of Wisconsin. Let's learn more about Wayne Hamilton's fascinating backstory of how a boy born in Washington, D.C. found a love for music and performing and eventually made his way up to Minnesota. The show was recorded June 27, 2013 in Thief River Falls, Minnesota, outdoors at the Floyd B. Olson Park gazebo as part of Pioneer 90.1 Singer-Songwriter Night. Minnesota Arts on the Road is supported through a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Let's enjoy Wayne Hamilton on this edition of Minnesota Arts on the Road.
I was headed north in my four-wheel drive. Yes, I needed some time with a line in the water. Make me feel alive, get some sandy soil underneath my feet. With my trusty rod and my black dog bow, headed where the air smells sweet. Didn't spend much time on that concrete slab. Pulled off at Rock Creek, rolled down my window, turned off the radio gab, I moved away from the interstate hum. Put my four rubber tires on the two-lane highway known as US 61. Well, Highway 61, that's the only way to go. Full of fishes and tons of country fun. Don't care where you're going, you ain't seen nothing till you roll down 61. Went through Willow River, took a look at Moose Lake, and before I drove through downtown Duluth, I came close to Cloquet. It's awful pretty when you drive the North Shore. Gooseberry Falls, Split Rock Lighthouse, and a whole lot more. And Highway 61, that's the only way to go. Travel that way, you'll learn everything that you need to know. Rocks and lakes full of fishes and tons of country fun. Don't care where you're going, you ain't seen nothing till you roll down 61. Well, anyway you cut it, too bad time off don't last. You gotta go back, you can go slow or fast. I choose slow, 'cause I'd rather walk than run. That's how we do it on Highway 61. Yes, Highway 61, that's the only way to go. Travel that way, you'll learn everything that you need to know. About pines and the rocks and lakes full of fishes and tons of country fun. Don't care where you're going, you ain't seen nothing till you roll down 61. Don't know what you're missing, you ain't seen nothing till you roll down, till you roll down 61. Thank you, you're very kind.
Well, let's talk with Wayne here this morning. Let's get to know you just a little bit. And could you tell us a little bit about your early childhood years and how and when music entered into your life? Let's start right from the beginning. It's a very good place to start.
Well, thanks, Glenn. I appreciate talking with you this morning. Well, I was born in Washington, D.C., in the city. Grew up what they call inside the Beltway. My parents' house was Nevermore. We lived in three places, McLean, Falls Church, and Annandale. And we never lived more than about 10 miles from the White House. I was inured with culture most of my life. And I started singing publicly when I was 5 years old. I would do my version of the Star Spangled Banner. I don't know how close to getting the words right I was at five or six, but I always liked doing that. And my goal in life is to sing it again at at one of the Twins games. I'm still trying to twist the arms of the Saints to let me sing there. But I started a band when I was 14, and we played all over the D.C. metro area. Had a great time, had horns and strings, you know, the guitars and bass and all of that stuff. And I sang and played drums and went off to college and did it again with a soul band and got some training as a singer in the college choir. That's held me in good stead. And then I got a Master of Fine Arts degree in theater and did musical theater for about 15 years. And came back to songwriting. I started writing songs in about 1968 and came back to it after I finished my musical theater direction career, and have been president of the association since 2007, been a member there since 1998. So I've been with them for 15 years and president about half that time. So that, in a very fast nutshell, is my career in songwriting and music and that sort of thing. I've loved every minute of it.
Sometimes I wonder if we'll ever agree. When there's two ways to do things, there's one for you and one for me. I like the movies, you like to read. I like to dance, but you don't like the way I lead. And even though we don't see eye to eye, baby, I'm gonna love you till I die. When it comes to money, of course I haven't a clue, but you always seem to know just what to do. I say let's save it, 'cause that's a good bet, but you think it's better to eradicate our debt. And even though we don't see eye to eye, baby, I'm gonna love you till I die. You know a man finds a woman, he's sure she'll never change, but she does. And a woman finds a man, she thinks that boy will change, but 85 years later, that old man is still the same. Oh yeah. Folks say come and visit, we say we'll try. You wanna drive, of course I'd rather fly. I'd like to go, but you wanna stay. You wanna relax, but honey, I'd much prefer to play. And even though we don't see eye to eye, baby, I'm gonna love you till I die. You think it's good, I'm not so sure. You think it's tainted, to me it looks pure. You're so frustrated, don't know what to do. And I feel the same, honey, sitting here watching you. And even though we don't see eye to eye, baby, I'm gonna love you till I die. I told you a man finds a woman, he's sure she'll never change, but she does.
Well, yes, she does.
And a woman finds a man, she thinks that boy will change, but 85 years later, that old dude is still the same. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I wonder if we'll ever agree. When there's two ways to do things, there's one for you and one for me. I like the movies, you like to read. I like to dance, but you don't like the way I lead. And even though we don't see eye to eye, baby, I'm gonna love you till I die. Even though we don't see eye to eye, baby, I'm gonna love you till I die. I said that even though we don't see eye to eye, baby, I'm still gonna love you, yes I will, till I die.
I was reading your bio information. It also said you worked in the world of music, jingles, and voiceovers.
Yeah.
Now, talk a little bit about that experience of doing that side of things.
Well, it's kind of fun. I was telling the guys last night that I have a friend who has an internet classified advertising site in Panama City Beach, Florida. And he's also negotiated with radio stations in that southeastern, deep southeastern states part of the country. Mm-hmm. And he has contracts with several different stations, and so I've written him a jingle for each one of the stations that he broadcasts with.
Uh-huh.
And or associates with, because the radio stations have an agreement with him where they will broadcast. Go to this site to find such and such.
Sure.
A sale, and because the car dealers will get in on it and that sort of thing. So I've had a lot of fun with that, and. I was lucky enough to get my title song from my first CD used in a TV commercial over in Holland.
Holland?
I got a call in the middle of the day from one of the top five largest ad agencies in the world, whose name escapes me right now. But it's they called and said, we want to use part of your song to help us advertise a TV commercial for Holland Casinos. They're state-owned over there.
Oh.
So the country of Holland owns six casinos, and you can go to my website, waynehamilton.com, and read the bio, and there's a place there where you can click and watch the commercials. It was kind of a blooper commercial, and my music is playing in the background.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talked about putting together an album. Now, what was that like to get together your own songs as well as releasing that out on disc? I mean, what was that feeling like to get into the studio and put out your work?
It was really fantastic. It's something I'd wanted to do for a very long time. But earlier in my life, if you didn't have a record contract and where somebody else was paying for all the promotion and all the studio time and the engineer time and musician time, it was almost impossible to do anything like mm-hmm. that. But in the 90s, things changed. And late in the 90s, I put my first CD together and did another one in 2006, and about to release a third one right now. But it was just fantastic to get in there. And the first CD, I did 12 originals.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much music that I admire, however, and that I learned from, that my second CD I did six originals and nine originals and three. Cover songs by other groups, songs that were written by other people.
This ain't your mama's world, son. This ain't your daddy's life. You're moving fast to keep up with the job and kids and wife. The youngins scream for daddy, your boss is yelling too. But you take it in stride, you're happy inside. 'Cause life's all right with you. You're loving it, no doubt in your mind. You're loving it, don't even have to try. You got everything you need, and you wouldn't change a thing. You're loving it, and everything is fine. Your wife tells you she loves you, she says so every day. Working mom is busy, but she's smiling all the way. She says the life she chose provides the happiness she needs. She turns out the light, she squeezes you tight. It's where she wants to be. She's loving it, no doubt in her mind. She's loving it, don't even have to try. She got everything she needs, and she wouldn't change a thing. She's loving it, and everything is fine. Getting knocked down don't matter as much as getting back on your feet. When you got love, getting up is easy. You're living a life that's hard to beat. Keep loving it, no doubt in your mind. Keep loving it, don't even have to try. You got everything you need, and you wouldn't change a thing. Keep loving it, and everything is fine. Thank you.
And now, who were some of your influences, though, when you think about your music? What was inspired you as far as other artists and acts?
Well, I go back a ways, and I was kind of weaned on the music of the big band sound from the late 40s and the early 50s. But I would say my first pop music, a non-big band kind of thing, was people like the Beach Boys and the Beatles. Beyond that, when I got to college, it was in the golden era of the folk revival segment of time, and I was lucky enough to see acts like Peter, Paul, and Mary, and I've heard just a ton of my old heroes. And then when I got to studying my own writing, I got to looking at, through the internet, I got to looking at writers whose works I was not familiar with as a younger person. But guys like Steve Goodman and John Prine, they were just tremendous influences on me. And I hope I bring the same kind of humor to my music that those guys did.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're currently serving as president of the Minnesota Association of Songwriters. Now, you touched on it just briefly, but how did you become involved with that association? And could you tell us, the listeners at home, a little bit more about the Minnesota Association of Songwriters? And one of your fellow members is the host tonight, Carl over there.
Carl is, as a matter of fact, he's on our board of directors. Okay. He's our social media director. And we have 8 or 9 people on the board to help out with some of the work that has to go on with the association. I got involved with them because it's tough to write in a vacuum. You know, you write your own stuff and you play it and it sounds good to you, but until you put it in front of somebody else, either an audience or somebody who knows something about music who can offer some feedback, mm-hmm. You really don't know if you've got anything worth keeping or not, except in your own head. So I got involved with them back in 98, and I held a series of posts with them. Because I think when you get involved in another group, I think service is a very important component of being part of a group, whether it's the Lions Club or the Minnesota Association of Songwriters. Offering some service is important, and I did that. And we got to a point where leadership was necessary, and so I stepped in and been there ever since. And I can't figure out whether it's because I'm doing such a great job or it's because nobody else wants to do the work. But it's fun. It's fun for me. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're also part of some other organizations as well. Could you talk a little bit about some of those with music?
I reach out to some other groups, the Minnesota Bluegrass and Old Time Music Association. And you got that great group, the Woodpicks, right here in Thief River Falls that belongs to that organization. And so I stay in touch with those folks. I'm not as active in that group as I am with MAS because it's hard to do more than you can.
Lots of juggling.
It's a tremendous amount of juggling. But I also belong to the Songwriters Association, or the, what do they call it, Songwriters of Wisconsin International, SOWI. I'm an ASCAP member, American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, and I just try to stay in touch with what's going on in the music industry. The main reason for that is because I try to pass as much information as I learn on to my members.
I've been chasing you around for nearly a year, but you got no interest in me. Got the wrong kind of truck, or the wrong kind of jeans, or I work too hard for free. But that clown you're seeing's gonna let you down. Honey, I'll be standing there. You can't push me away forever, and I ain't going anywhere. I'm second in line for a first-rate love. Second in line, and I won't give up. Second in line, and that's the last place I wanna be. Gonna show you, honey, I'm the kind of man who won't walk away from you. I wanna be number one, so we both have some fun. I'm tired of being number two. Now I might be playing way out of my class, but honey, that don't bother me none. I've learned to exercise some patience while you are out there having fun. Sooner or later, you will see things my way, and you will change your mind. Any day now, you will realize that we have wasted all this time. When you picked that other guy, I had to change my plan. But I believe we'll both be happy when you understand, understand. I'm second in line for a first-rate love. Second in line, and I won't give up. Second in line, and that's the last place I wanna be. Gonna show you, honey, I'm the kind of man who won't walk away from you. I wanna be number one, so we both have some fun. I'm tired of being number two. I wanna be number one, so we both have some fun. I'm tired of being, so tired of being number two. Thank you very much.
In your career, you've picked up a few accolades and stuff. Could you tell us about some of those accolades and honors you've picked up as a singer, songwriter, and performer?
Well, aside from having my work aired all over the world and getting nice commentary from DJs who've played my music, I've been privileged to actually one of my songs gotten comments. One of my songs, which I'll play for you this morning, if we have time, it's actually been played on every continent on the planet, except Antarctica, of course, which doesn't have commercial radio anyway. So
working on it.
I'll bet. But it was a lot of time to get pats on the back when I was an actor, singer, and director in musical theater. I never forget during the bicentennial year back in 76, I played the part of Edward Rutledge, the signer of the Declaration of Independence, who was from my father's home state. He played one of the semi-villains, if you can have a villain in the Continental Congress. I suppose we have them in our own Congress these days, too, maybe. I don't know. But and I had I did over 300 performances of that show during the bicentennial year. I got to play it both in Washington D.C. and in Philadelphia, so that was a great thrill for me as well.
Now, what other memories come out when you think about some of the more memorable gigs you played as a younger man, to cutting your teeth as a drummer and singer, and even up to today as a singer songwriter? What's some of the gigs that you can remember well that kind of stick out in your memory?
Early on, job that I had a 7 or 8, I guess 8-piece band, and we were playing at a fire hall. And back in the day, that was a place where somebody could rent the community room. Sure. The fire hall is a huge place, like a basketball court size, and they'd bring in tables and chairs and hire a band like us and get permission to open a bar and all that stuff. Well, the folks got a little rambunctious at the end of the evening, and this huge fight started down at the far end of the room. and they're moving toward us, and we're trying to pack up all this expensive gear, you
know? Sure, you got to get that stuff tucked away.
And I think what happened was that night we set a world record for packing up our gear and getting it out to our cars that night. But that's one of the memories that sticks in my head. But I also I was thrilled the first night I got to play at the Lake Harriet Band Shell in Minneapolis. It's a huge band show with the water right behind the stage, and just a gorgeous place to play. And usually, I think, you know, between 500 to 1,000 people show up. Wow. 8 or 9 times a week. Yeah, to listen to great music. And so I played that band shell many a time, and I'm always thrilled to go there and play.
My wife woke me up last weekend for a honeydew Saturday. She said, we got to find some storage space so we can put some things away. We opened up the closets, we searched in the garage, but we couldn't see a single cubic foot of anything but garbage. How much stuff do we really need? I wish that we were storing mustard seed or fleas or peas or anything small. Do we really need this stuff at all? We got broiler pans and fans on stands and stuff we ain't seen in years. We found old cell phones and irons, vacation souvenirs, 2 Christmas trees and braces for knees and junk you would not believe. Yes, we were standing in eBay heaven, but it all looked worthless to me. How much stuff do we really need? I wish that we were storing jewel box keys or bees or cheese or anything small. Do we really need this stuff at all? Well, we opened up some boxes, some real old boxes, with absolutely nothing inside. I looked at my bride, I was mystified. She saw the question in my eyes. She explained, if you have to return it, yeah, you gotta have the box it came in. We threw out what was in there ages ago. But I turned to my honey and grinned. I asked her, how much stuff do we really need? I wish that we were storing mustard seed or fleas or peas or anything small. Do we really need this stuff at all? I said, how much stuff do we really need? I wish that we were storing jewel box keys or bees or cheese or anything small. Do we really need this stuff at all?
What else do you have in store for the summer, Wayne? Do you have other gigs planned? State fairs coming up?
Well, we typically, the Songwriters Association has been fortunate enough to get a connection with the Farmers Union, which is right inside the main gate of the state fairgrounds. And if you just turn a little bit to the right as you're walking down Dan Patch Avenue, you'll see the Farmers Union building. And they offer music there from like 10 in the morning till 10 at night. And we're going to pick up a 5-hour slot there at the state fair, one of the days of the fair. That'll be announced on our website, which is mnsongwriters.org. And so you'll see that on our list of events. And my list of events is completely separate. I keep that on my own website, which is waynehamilton.com. Mm-hmm. And it's Hamilton like the guy on the $10 bill.
And that's where fans can go to find out where you're going, what music you have, and your story as well.
Exactly. And they can listen to some 60-second samples of songs that I have posted there. So we're always happy to have new visitors come by and check us out and give us a listen.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is just a pretty basic question that has many different answers and interpretations, but what does songwriting mean to you?
A lot of people say, I don't write songs because I like to or because I want to. Most of us say, we write songs because we have to. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's our way of expressing ourselves. Some people write novels. Some people write short stories. Some people act. Some people sing. Some people do other things. And it's all very creative. And I just enjoy doing it. I've always got things popping into my head. And you got to write all of those things down when you're a songwriter, because if you don't, you're going to forget it. You wake up in the middle of the night with a great song idea, and if you don't write it down right then and there at 3 in the morning, it's not going to be there when you wake up the next morning. So we all have our own way of creating a song. We start at different points, some with the lyrics, some with the music. But it's just a great joy for me. It's just been a real kick for me throughout my life. Well, since 1968, when I first started writing songs, it's just been a real thrill for me to be involved in that activity. And I'd do it whether I was a recording artist or whether I was playing in public or not. I would still do it. But I'm also grateful to have a group like Minnesota Association of Songwriters to bounce my songs off of.
I know an old fella with a farm out in West Tennessee. Well, the governor pulled up in a limo one day and said, "Please sell your farm to me." Well, they fixed up his house, left him 40 acres and put up a factory. He got 12 million bucks with his kind of luck. He's as happy as he can be. Some folks are just lucky. Good things fall right into their hands. Yes, so lucky, like it's a part of some master plan. They got the one thing everybody longs for, but very few will know. When you're lucky that way, there ain't nothing to say. You just pick up your money and go. Got a friend down in Georgia, played poker in a high-stakes game. Well, he was doing all right with his winnings at night. He played like his cards were aflame. Somebody bet shares in an oil well. My buddy shrugged and said, "It's all the same." But you know he won that hand, then the well came in. He had a fortune in his name. Yeah, some folks are just lucky. Good things fall right into their hands. Yes, so lucky, like it's a part of some master plan. They got the one thing everybody longs for, but very few will know. When you're lucky that way, there ain't nothing to say. You just pick up your money and go. Yes, when you're lucky that way, there ain't nothing to say. You just pick up your money and go. You just go. Thank you. Time for me to go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
This has been Minnesota Arts on the Road with our very special guest, Wayne Hamilton, recorded live June 27, 2013, at the Floyd B. Olson Park in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. Photos and audio from this show and other Pioneer 90.1 original programs can be found at RadioNorthland.org. A big thank you to our sound man, Ben Kasharik, as well as our MC for that evening, Carl Unbehound. Minnesota Arts on the Road is supported by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For Pioneer 90.1, I'm Glenn Broggett.